This is my first time in Jackson, and I feel like I'm in the mothership for RTS, so it's great to be here. It's great to see, I got to see the beautiful sanctuary and just what a lovely church. I'm so glad to get to be a part of this time together today. We're going to be talking today about the riches of God's Word, and I love this topic because honestly, it makes me think a little bit of a treasure hunt. And I come from a family where we love talking about finding buried treasure. I spend every summer down in Beaufort, North Carolina, which I want to make sure to specify is not Beaufort, South Carolina. So this is what we do in the South. The cities have the exact same name, but they are called two different ways in two different states. And I was like, this is why the rest of the country thinks we're all crazy. So I go to Beaufort, North Carolina every summer. And this is where Blackbeard hails from. So he had a home there you can go by, but it's also where his ship crashed in the Beaufort Harbor. So our kids love all things Blackbeard. So we spend our time, even on vacation, because we are a truly exciting family. We spend our time watching documentaries of things like shipwrecks and all of this. And so we watched this one documentary on this shipwreck. It was a Spanish shipwreck called the Atocha. It was it probably sunk in the early 1600s. It was a Spanish vessel, and it was loaded with treasure, absolutely loaded with treasure. So this man named Mel Fisher had figured out kind of where it must be off the floor. It was off the Florida coast. And so in 1969, started a 16-year quest to find this treasure. And it goes through what he found. So in 1971, after 2 years of searching, he found an olive jar, a Spanish anchor, and a gold chain. That was after 2 years. Then in 2 more years, he found one silver bar. And then in 1975, he found 5 bronze cannons. And then over the next 10 years, he found gold coins, jewelry. He kept searching. 10 more years. And then on 1985, after the search started in 1969, he found 13 gold bars, 4 pieces of silver, and he was like, okay, I think we're getting close. And come on July 20th, 1985, he found what was called the mother lode. He found a reef of silver bars, 1,000 silver bars, 3,000 coins, 3,000 emeralds, 65 pounds of gold worth $400 million. But this man, I want you to think about it. He went out every single day for 16 years searching for treasure. Every day. And this was his motto. His motto was, today's the day. Today's the day. 16 years. And so as we talk about mining the riches of God's word today, I want you to know, and go ahead and prepare your minds, that there are going to be a lot of days you're on the boat and you don't find anything. A lot of years that you just go and you put yourself in God's word and maybe you don't find anything. But what I want you to know is that there's a mother lode of treasure to be found in God's word. And so that faithful plodding, we will never get the treasure if we don't go on the hunt. And a lot of us stop much too quickly because we say it's hard and I don't want to do it. And so what I want this talk to be about is just to remind our hearts. If Mel Fisher can spend 16 years after earthly treasure, that, y'all, it's all going to fade. I mean, I know it sounds like a lot, and there's a lot we could do with $400 million. I get that. It's all going to fade. And we're told that God's word has eternal treasure. Can't we spend our life on this? And I think the answer is yes. And so that's what we're going to talk about in this short talk. And I'm going to give you 4 P's because I'm Presbyterian and P's, there are a lot of good P words out there. So the first thing we're going to talk about, the priority. Why do we do this? Why do we spend our life on an ancient book? It's a really good question that we all have to ask. The second thing, what's the problem? What keeps us from spending time treasuring God's word? The third thing we're going to look at is the process. How do we do it? How do we actually go and dig and find the treasure of God's word? And then the fourth thing we're going to look at is the produce. Why do we do this? What results from spending our lives on God's word? So that's how we're going to go about it. And let's start with the priority. If you have Bibles, if you don't, it's okay. You don't have to turn, but if you have them, I'm going to start us in Isaiah 55. This is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. If you ever just want something to go study one day, I highly encourage Isaiah 55. It's this wonderful picture, and it doesn't come out as much in the English, but in the Hebrew, it's this wonderful picture of a marketplace. And he's actually calling out to someone. He's using the term ho, which is come. And he's saying, come. And he's calling out. And it's a really good picture of what's happening in our world today. Because let me tell you, if you go on Instagram or Facebook or social media, everyone is selling you something. They're all calling out to you, and they're all saying, hey, here's where life is. And it's like a marketplace, and we all have it right on our phones, and it's just all there every day, calling out to you, this is where life is. And this is what Isaiah 55 says. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. So the first thing I want you to notice is who is invited. Who is invited? It's not everybody. It's actually the thirsty. And this is the best news for us all. It's the thirsty woman. It's not the woman who's got it all together. The person who's invited is not the one who's just happy every day and everything's going great in her life and she has no problems. The thirsty woman. The woman whose life is falling apart. The woman who is struggling with depression. The woman who is in a marriage that has been hard for years and is still hard. The woman whose children are doing things that she never thought her kids would do. The woman who is desperately aching and desperately lonely and desperately hurting. The woman who is desperately thirsty. Praise God, you are invited. It's the best news. And this is what you're invited. Here, keep reading with me. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food. So here's the thing. She's not just invited to sustenance. She's invited to life. She's not invited just to making it by. She's invited to good, to the best meal possible. But here's the thing we also see in this. It is really easy to spend your life on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy. And so what I want to say to us as women today, there are 1,000 ways to waste your life. 1,000 ways to waste your life. And they are all, and what I also want to say is they are not terrible things. They're often good things that are put in wrong priority in our life, and they keep us from the best thing. So really good things. I want you to picture a woman who's standing before the ocean. She's desperately thirsty. She's like this woman. She's desperately thirsty. She's standing before the ocean. She has a cup, and she's going to scoop down, and she's going to pick up, and she's going to drink that ocean water. What would you and I all tell her? We'd be like, don't drink it. Why would we tell her not to drink it? Because it's not going to actually satisfy her thirst. And in fact, it's going to only make her thirstier still. And if she keeps drinking it, she will eventually die. Well, here's the thing about the ocean. Is the ocean bad? The ocean's not bad. The ocean's actually really good. You can swim in it. You can look at it. You can play in it. It's wonderful. It wasn't meant to sustain life. And that's the thing about all these things in the world that we look at every day. They can be really, really good things. But they cannot sustain you. They are not life. This passage actually tells us where to find life. And let's listen to it. Verse 3, incline your ear. Come to me, hear that your soul may live. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. If we ever had a treasure map with a big X on it, Isaiah 55 is saying, it is possible to waste your life. It is possible to spend it on all the wrong things. And I'm going to tell you where the treasure is. And the treasure is in the Lord. How do we know the Lord? We find him in his word. The world is going to tell you all these. I mean, y'all, there are a lot of different Jesuses running around out there. And if we want to be women who actually know the real Jesus, there is one place to find him. And it is in his word. So if we want to be women who live and have abundant life, we have to treasure God's word. It is our guiding light. It is the place that we can look and know, with so many voices telling me so many crazy things, here is truth. And God has revealed himself to us through his word, and he offers it to us freely. I'll tell you what. I spent last fall, we went to Indonesia, and if anybody's talked to Rick, y'all have heard about Indonesia. I don't know Rick Canada, if y'all know Rick. We landed in this grass, on this grassy strip with this group of people. To fly in, you had to be in a little MAF plane landing on this. It wasn't paved. We land, and I watched a video later about the first time this little community got the New Testament. I can't even tell you the celebration that was happening. There was dancing, there was praying, there was just rejoicing on high because they actually had the Bible in their own language. Y'all, I've got like 20 Bibles in every different translation in my library. And I so often, it's so hard, isn't it, for us to even open them up. We have them every day. We have life, we have food, we have manna from heaven. And it just sits getting dusty because we don't treasure God's word. So we have to treasure God's word. So the first thing is, because that's actually where life is. The second reason I think we really have to make this a priority is because this world is full of suffering. And we, as people in the church, do not have a theology of suffering. I know as I look out in this room, there are women in this room who woke up weeping about what's going on in their life today. I know there are women in this room who are deeply aching with what's going on in their life today. And what I can tell you and what the word tells you, what Jesus says, he says, I've told you these things so that me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome it. The more you are a woman of the word, the more you are going to remember that suffering is normal. Now, I'll be honest, I've been walking with Jesus for 35 years. It still shocks me every time. I'm not going to lie. Like, every time I'm like, this is way more painful and way more hard than I thought it was going to be. But when I go to his word, he says, this is it. And even as a Christian, it might be actually worse for us than better. That's what his word tells us. But it also tells us this, my comfort and my suffering is this, your promise preserves my life. So the very word that comes to us that tells us, hey, suffering and persecution are going to happen to us is also the word that is our comfort and our balm in our time of trouble. And Jesus said it this way. He said, there's a man who's building his house on the sand, and there's a man who builds his house on the rock. And guess what happens to both of them? The winds come, the rains come, the storm comes. Both the person who builds their house on the sand and the person who builds their house on the rock. Only one house stands firm, and it's the one that's built on that rock. So what he doesn't promise us is that we're excluded from suffering. We actually are partakers of Christ's sufferings. We share in that fellowship of suffering with Christ who suffered for us. But what's different is our house is built on a rock, and it will stand. And how do we build our house on the rock? What does that passage tell us, if you remember? Whoever hears my word and obeys it. That's the person who's building their house on the rock. If we are not hearing it, we cannot obey it. So we have got to be women who treasure God's word, first of all, because that's where life is. Secondly, it's going to build the foundation for when we suffer. And then thirdly, I just want to say, this is what Paul prayed for his beloved Philippians. This is Philippians 1:9-11. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more. Listen to what he wants their love to abound more and more on. In knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And Paul's writing to the Philippians. He is in jail. Notice what he is not praying for them. I pray that you're never in jail like me. I pray that you never suffer like I do. No, he is concerned about their soul. He's concerned that their love for God is abounding more and more in knowledge and understanding and insight of who God is, because he knows that is what they need more than being kept out of a jail cell. What we need more than safety is the safety of knowing who the God we serve is. And that's what Paul is praying for them. That's what he's telling them. This is the most important thing. And I want to say something really clearly, and I think this is true in our reform circles. Knowing Reformed theology, I love it. I love it. That's not when you stop learning. Sometimes I think we check the boxes. Okay, I know, I get God sovereign. I got it. I'm checking all the boxes. I got my right theology. I'm good. No. The best theologian in your church is a woman who is daily in God's word. That's the best theologian in your church. Because what she knows is she can't do anything without Jesus. That's the best theologian in your church. Be the woman who plants herself in God's word because she knows she is nothing and God is everything. And that if she tries to do anything on her own, she is desperately unable to do it without Jesus. That's a theologian, not someone who can check all the right boxes and take all the classes at RTS. Please take classes at RTS. It's a lovely place. We have to be women who treasure God's word, because when we are treasuring God's word, we are treasuring Christ above all else. So that's the priority of our life. We have to be women who have that priority. What's the problem? What keeps us from this? I'm going to start by saying what the problem isn't. I think our temptation is to say, I'm just so busy. Just so busy. I want to say firmly, we do not have a busyness problem in the church today. We have a belief problem. Your life is a representation of what you actually believe. And here's the thing I know. If you're like me, or you're like my friends, or you're like people I know, one, I know you can do really hard things because I see you at the gym and I see you people jumping, doing box jump steps. I see you lifting really heavy weights. I see women all the time running half marathons, running full marathons. I see women doing amazingly. The pumpkins, someone painted those. Those are beautiful. I cannot do that. You know, and like people, we are spending our life on what we believe matters. And so I want to challenge our busyness problem because it's actually a belief problem. And it's really important that we get this straight, because what we believe is how we are going to live our life. And what we trust in is what we're going to spend our life on. Because here's our problem. Here's the progression. Our unbelief is going to lead us into idolatry, and our idolatry will lead us into disobedience. Okay, and so it's this horrible pattern, and you see it all in the Old Testament, right? They don't believe what God says is true. They start worshiping idols, and then ultimately they're disobeying, and they're running in ways they never thought they'd go. Okay, and this is awful pattern in the Old Testament. It's the pattern in our own hearts. We spend our lives on what matters. And as you try to diagnose idolatry in your heart, here's the questions I always ask. What are you spending your time on? What are you spending your money on? What do you think about? What do you spend your time on? What do you spend your money on? What are you thinking about? I remember hearing Derek Thomas speak a few years ago, and he said, what do you think about when you're not thinking? What are you thinking about? What are you internally trusting in? Let God be that. You know, I mean, I know my daughter got engaged this weekend, which I'm super excited about, and I am super tempted to give in to, I am trusting in finding a really good venue that's actually cost effective at this point. And then every time the fear comes into my mind of how on earth am I going to do this on top of all the other things, I pray. I say, dear Jesus, help us. I can't do this. Dear Jesus, help us. That's the great news. Y'all, we have a direct line to Jesus. I'm going to trust in him rather than all my good planning skills. When they're just not very good. But like, I'm going to trust in him. And that's what we have to do as women. We have to believe, nope, I know all those things are calling out to me. All those things are saying, if you just get that check off list, you're going to feel so good. Nope, I'm going to plant myself for the next 30 minutes in the book of Joshua. I have no idea why I'm here today, Lord, but I'm here. And I'm going to listen to you. And that's what I'm going to do, because I believe there's life here. I'm going to trust in that more than the idol of productivity. I'm going to do that. Because if I don't, eventually the idol is going to lead me to disobedience. And here's the reality of our disobedience. It is always corrosive for our soul. I think, you know, we live in this world where we sometimes judge each other for sin. We should actually be extremely compassionate for anyone caught in sin. Because it is ruining their life. It is ruining my life. when I choose sin, it always looks good on the front end, right? I can't remember which. Oh, it's the Satan's Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. Y'all, isn't that a title? Jeremiah Burroughs, yeah, where he says that Satan always shows the bait and hides the hook. Sin is just miserable. Sin is miserable. God's word is the pathway to life. I never feel like I'm putting a burden on someone when I say obey God. I'm saying this is life. This is the best news for you, that the God of the universe loves you enough to show you how you work. It shows you what is best for you. That is not a burden on you. That is life. That is life. And he graces us by giving us his word. So we have to be women who throw off the lie of I'm just too busy. And we have to be women who say, I believe this is the most important thing in my life and I will chase after it hard today. So then the third thing, the process. How do we become women who treasure God's word? How do we do it? Here's the reality. Things that are often very hard to do are very simple to understand. So if I were to ask you, how do we take care of our physical bodies? You know, as many diet plans as there are out there, what does it always come down to? Eat right and exercise. Okay, it always comes down. That's how our bodies are created. Eat right, exercise. Everybody else is selling you something. Eat right and exercise. Okay, that's the basic thing. When it comes down to our spiritual souls, how do we become women who treasure God's word? It's read the Bible, it's pray, and it's be in the fellowship of church. These are God's means of grace to us by which we grow in the Lord. If we want to abound in the knowledge of the Lord, it's found in his word, it's found by prayer, and it's found with his people in the church. There's no other way around it. There's no magical fix. There's no pill you can take. There's no seminary degree you can get. It's the daily walking with Jesus that is going to change and revolutionize your life. And so we have to be women who do that. So I'm going to give you four more P's. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. We need to plan, participate, persevere, and purge. Plan, participate, persevere, and purge. So first, we just have to be women who say, I'm going to plan time with the Lord every day. Make it your non-negotiable. Say to yourself, I will not brush my teeth until I have spent time in God's word. And you will start spending time in God's word because people will be like, you need something. So, but, I mean, whatever it might be, and you know the thing that's keeping you from it. Be real honest with yourself. What is keeping me from God's word? What do I need to put off so I can put on? What do I need to do so I can plan 30 minutes with the Lord every day so I can be in his word and be in prayer? So we have to first do that, and we need to keep the word too, because it's not just hearing it. We actually have to do what it says. That's living and being in the word. And I do want to say this. Whenever I talk about this, I just want to remind you, there is no angel in heaven with a gold star chart keeping track of, okay, Sue did her quiet time today. That's not why we do it. I want you to know it's not to win the approval of God. But what spending time in God's word reminds you is you are already approved of by God because you are his daughter. Here's the thing. You do not get grace because you spend time in God's word, but you are reminded of the grace that is freely given to you. You do not, God does not love you one iota more because you spend time in his word. But every single day of your life, you need reminders of how much he loves you. Every single day, you need reminders. So it is for our good. Let me just say that. We plan this time not because we're going to make ourselves miserable, but because we believe there's actually treasure there. That's why we plan this time. Secondly, participate. Participate in the life of the church. I just want to invite you to get a lot more obsessed with Jesus. Really, make it your whole life. Be one of those crazy Christians. Be one of those people who wants to be with God's people and wants to grow and wants to know people who know him. And you see those people, you see those women, you see those saints who are, you know, 85 years old and they have spent their life knowing Jesus. And you know what I want to tell you? They glow. They do not have, they have not had work done. But they have had work done. The Spirit, have you seen them? I've seen them. And you walk into a room and their face is alive. And they don't have one Botox injection to get there. And it's beautiful. And it's absolutely beautiful. And they shine. Find those women and say, tell me about how you walk with Jesus. Find them. Participate in this type of thing. It's going to spur you on. And then the third thing, persevere. I want to tell you, I really started walking with the Lord when I was 14. And I decided that year, I read the Bible through in a year. So that started me on this trajectory of reading my Bible every day. And it never stopped. I can say by God's grace, that has been the joy of my life. And I will cry. And here's what I will say, though. There are many days when I am in passages and I'm like, what is going on here? I'll be in the Old Testament and I'm like, who are these people, these giants that they are talking about again? I do not know. Yeah, I've written in my notes for years. I need to do some research on that. Still haven't done the research. Once I find out, I'll try to find out. But spend the time in the mundane because there really is treasure there. I can't tell you how many times I have done the Bible in a year, and I have found myself in October, you know, in these passages that I started in January. I'm now in October, and I'm going through something. There have been times I've been going through things so utterly painful, and I open up that passage, and the Lord meets me and you in such a way that you will say, you are alive, Jesus. And you are here with me right now in a way that I cannot explain, but I can only celebrate. Y'all, we can only do that when we plan and when we get in the Word and we persevere. If we give up, we will never find the treasure. If we give up, we will never find it. So keep doing it. Keep going. If you miss a week, don't let that be your excuse. Keep going. Keep digging. Go back, open it up, try again. Every time you fall off, get back on. Keep trying. There's treasure there. It's worth it. And then the last thing, we're going to have to purge. If we want to be women who plan, we're going to have to purge. So if I could give you two things to leave with, when are you going to spend time in God's Word each day, and what are you going to purge so that you can do it? Just think that through. Those are the two things if you take away from this talk. When am I going to spend time in God's Word every day? What am I going to purge to do? And you may have to purge some really good things. And I'm really going to hit for just one moment on our entertainment culture. Okay, we can busy ourselves out trying to have a good time. Whatever it may be, it might be Netflix for one person, it might be some football team for another person. I don't know what your particular thing is, but we spend a lot of time on entertainment. You may have to take off a very good thing so you can prioritize the best thing. Just think about what that is in your life. It's different for each of us. For me, it's going to be like reading because I am super boring. But like for everybody else, we've all got something that we're going to have to take off so we can choose what's best. The last thing, what happens when we go deeper? And this is the best news. When we spend time going deep into God's Word, treasuring His Word above all else, He makes us to be discerning women. And this will save your life. By knowing what good thing to choose and what bad thing to put off, it's going to make all the difference. My friend Angela, she actually now works for RTS. She's in our accreditation department. When she first graduated from college, she worked as a bank teller. And she told me that the whole first month of being a bank teller, the only thing they do is let you see real money. And they actually teach you only about real money. And they put it before you and they teach you everything to be looking for as a bank teller with real money. And she says about a month into your training, they start slipping in counterfeits. And she said immediately you can spot it. Her eye had been so trained to see what was real that as soon as something false slipped in, she knew what it was. And she said they do this very purposefully. She said there are a million ways you can be counterfeit. There's only one way you can be true. So if we want to be women who can discern, it's not by going out there and figuring out everything that's false. It's by planting ourselves in what is true and looking at it so much that, you know what, you can just taste this off. So I am really always less worried about my women doing a bad Bible study or bad book or whatever. As long as I know they're in God's Word on a regular basis, you know what I know? They're going to have discernment and their spider sense is going to go off that what this writer is saying is totally wrong. But we have to be women who know what is true before we can discern what is wrong. So that's the first thing that's going to happen. The second thing that's going to happen as we spend time with Jesus and his word, he is going to change us from the inside out. He changes us. In college, I lived all 4 years with the same roommate. We started to dress alike. Our hairstyles started looking alike. People would get us confused. They'd be like, are you Beth? You know, and I was like, no, I'm Melissa. I'm her roommate. Yes, I know. We look alike. We start talking alike. Spending time together made us look like one another. Spending time with Jesus will make you start to look like him. You will not, it's like the tree. It's abiding in the ground and it bears fruit. I have a plum tree that's in my backyard and I look at it all the time and I watch it go through all the seasons and I realize when it's bearing fruit, it's just doing what a plum tree does. It's not working extra hard. It's not stressed out to have all those plums on it. It's just bearing fruit. And you know what? The plum tree never gets to eat the plum's fruit. I eat the fruit. You know, it's just bearing it. And here's the thing. As we become women who abide in Jesus, we just bless other people. We become blessed to be a blessing. And it's not because we're doing, we will do stuff. It's not that you're not doing things. But it just comes out of you. You've seen those women, right? No matter what they're doing. It's just God, Jesus is coming out of them. And you're like, I want some of that. I want some of that. And let me tell you, it doesn't come from spending time with her. It comes from spending time with Jesus. So we've got to go back. If we want to be those women who just are bearing fruit, are loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, self-control, if we want to be those women, it only can be found in one place, and that's in abiding in Jesus. The final result. I'm going to read Philippians 1:9-11 again. He prays that their love would abound more and more knowledge and depth of insight. One, so they can discern, so that they might be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. What's our chief end? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's our chief end. The only way to do that is to grow day after day, abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. As we receive, we will glorify him. We receive from him, and our lives glorify him. And that's the goal. That's what we're all hoping to do in this life. That's what we want to do. And so that's what I want to encourage you. I know that, yeah, we will go from this place today to all of your busy lives. I know everyone is busy. But I just want to encourage you, as you treasure God's word, as you make it a priority, it will change your life. It will not be fast. At all, it will be slow. But one day you will wake up and you will say, he has made all the difference. And you will be in tears saying how good, not how easy your life has been, but how good your life has been. Because God has been with you in every moment and he offers that to you. And so what I want to say is, you look at your Bible, what I want you to hear in your mind is what Mel said, today's the day. And that's what I want you to go forward. When you look at it on your shelf, today's the day. There might be treasure there. Go for it. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you that you give us your word. We thank you that it is living and active. We thank you that it changes us. We do not know how. We do not know why you give your grace to us, but you do. So, Lord, we pray that we would be women who chase after your word like hidden treasure, that we treasure it like manna from on high. Help us to be those women. Change us from the inside out that we might live to your glory. It's in your name we pray.